Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What is it that Mormons call free agency? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue our look at the LDS manual titled Gospel Principles, the 2009 edition. It's meant to be a study guide for members of the LDS Church and also an introduction to the Mormon faith. Perchance a person may be interested in possibly joining the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Today we look at Chapter 4. It's titled Freedom to Choose and talks about agency being an eternal principle.
It says on page 17, in our premortal life, we had moral agency. One purpose of earth life is to show what choices we will make. And it goes on and says, agency was one of the principal issues to arise in the premortal council in heaven.
Now notice that we're only on chapter 4, but we see a lot of intertwining of themes in these various chapters. And as we've discussed in a past radio broadcast, this idea of a council of heaven, this idea of a pre-existent life, it keeps coming up because it's all intertwined, folks. You can't take this section out of Mormonism and have it at least make sense within the context of Mormonism. This idea of a premortal council of heaven, of course, as it goes on to say in that paragraph, is where Lucifer, who is considered in Mormonism as one of our spirit brothers, not only the spirit brother of Jesus, but our spirit brother as well, rejected the plan of salvation that this council was going to provide. And because Jesus was chosen over Lucifer, Lucifer rebelled and took one third of our spirit brothers and sisters with him, and they became the demons. He became the devil, and they are doomed to an eternity of being placed in outer darkness.
Robert D. Hales, an apostle, said in the November 2010 General Conference, but think of it, in our premortal state, we chose to follow the Savior Jesus Christ. And because we did, we were allowed to come to earth.
So not only do we have what Mormons would call free agency in our pre-existent state, they also teach that we have free agency in this mortal state, or what they would call the second estate. The first estate would be our existence in the presence of our heavenly parents. And then we came to earth in what they call a mortal probation.
Agency makes our life on earth a period of testing. When planning the mortal creation of his children, God said, we will prove or test them herewith to see if they will do all things whatsoever the Lord their God shall command them. And that's from Abraham 3:25. Without the gift of agency, we would have been unable to show our Heavenly Father whether we would do all that he commanded us. Because we are able to choose, we are responsible for our actions.
Now, in that one paragraph, there's a lot of interesting tidbits there. And that quote from Abraham 3:25 is interesting, where it says, we will prove or test them herewith to see if they will do all things whatsoever the Lord their God shall command them. Now, that word all is used again. Without the gift of agency, we would have been unable to show our Heavenly Father whether we would do all that he commanded us. My question is how many Latter-day Saints are really doing all that God commanded them? When I talk to Mormons and I ask them, are you doing everything that is possible in order to ensure that you will be exalted in the celestial kingdom after you die? Rarely will I ever have a Mormon be confident enough to say yes to that question. But here's the point. The last sentence in that paragraph says, because we are able to choose, we are responsible for our actions. Now, let me cite you something from Joseph Fielding Smith, who was the 10th president of the LDS Church. This is what he said in Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 1, page 69. Importance of this mortal probation, because that's what we are in right now, according to Mormonism. Joseph Fielding Smith goes on to say, This mortal probation was to be a brief period, just a short span linking the eternity past with the eternity future. Yet it was to be a period of tremendous importance. It would either give to those who received it the blessing of eternal life, which is the greatest gift of God. Of course, let me interject here that eternal life in the context of Mormonism is exaltation or godhood. He says, which is the greatest gift of God, and thus qualify them for godhood as sons and daughters of our eternal Father, or if they rebelled and refused to comply with the laws and ordinances which were provided for their salvation, it would deny them the great gift, and they would be assigned, after the resurrection, to some inferior sphere according to their works. This life is the most vital period in our eternal existence. And that is really Mormonism in a nutshell when you consider that if a Latter-day Saint is not doing everything they are expected to do, they will not inherit the celestial kingdom. If they are not keeping celestial law, they will not get into the celestial kingdom.
Let me just mention as well, Bill, that this idea talked about in this chapter, freedom to choose and agency, there is no Bible verse to support any of what's being talked about here. It goes on page 19, and it says, when we choose to live according to God's plan for us, our agency is strengthened. Right choices increase our power to make more right choices. As we obey each of our Father's commandments, we grow in wisdom and strength of character. Our faith increases, we find it easier to make right choices.
Let me interject something here, because when it says, as we obey each of our Father's commandments, we grow in wisdom and strength of character, that's not all Mormon leaders have said about that. In fact, it was Spencer Kimball who kind of piggybacked off of a statement by Joseph Smith and uses this ladder illustration that I find many Latter-day Saints are familiar with. What is that ladder illustration?
And this comes from the teachings of Spencer W. Kimball on page 153. He writes, each command we obey sends us up another rung up the ladder to perfected manhood and toward godhood. And every law disobeyed is a sliding toward the bottom where man merges into the brute world. Only he who obeys law is free. Serfdom comes to him who defies law. And then he quotes John 8:32, the truth will make you free.
Think about that. If every commandment you obey puts you up a rung, and every commandment you disobey causes you to slide towards the bottom, a fair question that I would pose to Latter-day Saints would be, well, what rung are you on right now? I have asked that question of many Latter-day Saints, and they don't know. They don't know where they are in light of eternity. They are certainly hoping they're doing enough to accomplish it. But if they are still struggling with sin and disobeying commandments, if they are still repenting as a result of disobeying those commandments, a Latter-day Saint cannot know for sure. And the importance is this second estate is their time to perform. They do not get an opportunity after this life to make up for lost time, even though we have heard Latter-day Saints say just that.
So if you're a Latter-day Saint, I ask the question, do you find it easier to make right choices? Certainly the Apostle Paul did, and in Romans he talked about how he struggled with sin. And if you don't find it easier, then you're not learning, I guess.
Let me reiterate what I said earlier by using a citation from the Discourses of Wilford Woodruff, who was the fourth president of the Mormon Church. This is found on pages 268 and 269. We are now upon our second estate, and our eternal destiny depends upon the few years we spend in the flesh. We are placed here that it may be seen which law we will keep. Our Heavenly Father has placed before us the laws celestial, telestial, and terrestrial. What he means by that is all of us are keeping a certain set of laws right now, whether you know it or not. According to Mormonism, you are either keeping celestial law, which will qualify you for the celestial kingdom, terrestrial law, that will qualify you for the terrestrial kingdom, or telestial law, which will qualify you for the lowest of the kingdoms. All of us, according to Mormonism, are following a set of laws. Woodruff goes on to say, if any man will obey the celestial law, he will be preserved by that law. All the glory, power, and exaltation belonging to that law will be given to him. If you, as a Latter-day Saint, are not keeping celestial law, you will not go to the celestial kingdom. And the celestial law has been defined by Mormon leaders as keeping all the laws and ordinances and keeping all of the commandments.
Listen to what Harold B. Lee, president of the church, said in a church manual called Teachings of the Presence of the Church. He said, "We need to remember that it doesn't make so much difference whether we die early in life or in middle age. The all-important thing is not when we die, but how prepared are we when we do die? This is a day of preparation for man to prepare to meet their God. How great and merciful he was in allowing us a period of probation during which time man should be perfecting himself."
I think what's important to bring out here is the huge difference between the theme of Mormonism and the theme of Christianity. In Mormonism, it's all about how good you are,
yeah.
How good you are. In Christianity, we seem to recognize by God's revelation, the Old and New Testament, really how bad we are, and the fact that because of our innate sinfulness, we cannot make up for that quote-unquote badness, and why we need a Savior to pay the penalty for our sins and to trust in what he did for us.
And if you read the book of Romans, that's exactly what Paul does, is he lays out in chapters 3, 4, and 5 explaining how bad we are. Chapter 6, he says the wages of sin is death. It is not a good situation, but you know what? That bad news is actually good news, because when we realize how bad we are, we recognize we need a Savior.
We need the cross. We need to go to the foot of the cross. Now, before leaving this chapter, I just want to quickly bring this up on page 19, where it talks about agency requires that there be a choice.
We cannot choose righteousness unless the opposites of good and evil are placed before us.
Let me comment on that. For you Latter-day Saints that often write us and tell us how evil we are, in essence, we're necessary, I guess. If you really think we're evil, then we are doing you a service, because we are giving you an opportunity to choose whether or not we are really evil, or maybe we're actually good for you, because we are citing your own material to you. And if you don't like what we are citing from your own sources, then you have to ask yourself, am I making a right choice in rejecting what people like Bill and Eric and others are saying about my faith, or am I making a bad choice in rejecting what they have to say?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like to learn more about the Mormon religion while learning how to share your Christian faith? Then please listen, because on Saturday, February 7th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be delivering their Compassionate Boldness Symposium, Part 1, in West Jordan, Utah. This free PowerPoint presentation includes information on the Book of Mormon, the nature of the Godhead, and how the LDS version of salvation compares with the Bible. Now again, it all takes place on February 7th. At Jordan Presbyterian Church, located at 3671 Old Bingham Highway in West Jordan. Everyone who comes will receive a complimentary copy of the notes, and refreshments will also be served. If you'd like more information, please go to mrm.org and click on the link that says Calendar at the upper left side of the homepage. No doubt, you won't want to miss this excellent opportunity to better understand the Mormon religion. We hope to see you there.